Well, let me one more time pray for the baptismal candidates as they return back into the service and join us. Let me pray for them. And also, I just noticed, lovely to have Debbie back with us. Debbie and her husband Davey have been on a mission trip to Niger and just back yesterday. So we'll give thanks for their safe arrival back as well. Let's pray again for a few moments. Father, we thank you again for this lovely morning of celebration. We thank you for Kieran, for Siobhan, for Ben and Patrick. And we thank you for your work in their lives. And we celebrate with them, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to them. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who lived and died a death on the cross for them, so they could be forgiven and follow you. And we just pray for them in the coming days, weeks, months, years, Lord, that you would give them the perseverance to live by faith and not by sight. We pray for their family and friends and for us as a church family. Help us to surround them, to support them as they walk that walk of faith. We thank you for them. We thank you too for Debbie and for Davey. Thank you for the experience they've had. And we pray for the work that they've done, Lord, that labour would not be in vain. We entrust it to you. And we thank you for bringing them back safely. And pray that you bless them as they adjust back to being here in a Western sort of materialistic society. So we pray you bless them and thank you for them. Help us now as we come to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to turn, if you have a Bible, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And just as you look, there was a lady in Spain a few years ago, and she came across a painting. It was an old painting of Jesus, and she saw it and thought that it was a lovely painting, but it needed maybe touched up a wee bit, rough around the edges. So she got out her paintbrush and her paint pots and decided she was going to just do a wee just touch it up around the edges and restore it. So she got to work, and after her hard labour, the picture looked like this. It was a restoration job gone a bit wrong, and it became famous on the internet now. And first of all, everybody thought it was a total disaster, but actually now people pay a lot of money to come and see it because it's become famous for a restoration gone wrong, and it's just such a disaster. But that was a restoration job gone wrong. She thought she could make it better. She thought she could improve it, and actually I think she's made it a little bit worse, or quite a bit worse. But I don't know if you ever feel like that. You feel like trying to improve your life. You ever feel like your life needs improving, or you're not quite sure where you are in life and you want to try and make things better? But at times when we try to make things better in our lives, at times actually we can end up making things worse. We try making changes in our lives, and we try to take up a new hobby, go on a diet, make new friends, meet new people. And at times we can try all these things to make ourselves feel happier, make ourselves feel better. But sometimes actually it makes things worse. Instead of making things better, we end up back where we were. And I know that for myself, growing up, I grew up in a Christian home as well, like some of these guys, but in my high school years, I really was quite unhappy, and I knew there was something just not right in my life. And I tried all sorts of different things, trying to find new friends. I tried alcohol, tried all sorts of things. I thought that would make me happy. And just nothing ever quite made me happy. Never quite got there. And the Bible, it acknowledges, tells us that there is something wrong with this world. That we're all not quite right. There's something needs fixed in this world. I think we all would acknowledge that. And what can God, does God have any answers? What does God say about how we can, how can he fix this broken world? And we come to Ephesians chapter 2. I think it says something to us this morning about how this broken world can be made right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Hard words from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. I do a little bit of work in schools, and in some of the schools, whenever we do an assembly or an after-school club, Every opportunity I can get, I like to show off my art skills. So much so that in one of the schools, I'm not now known as Aaron the Artist. And I'll admit I give that name to myself, and it is catching on, and they call me now Aaron the Artist is coming in. And so I thought I would share with you some of my art skills. And so what I do sometimes is I'll get one of them up, and I'll say I'm going to draw their portrait. And so, Patrick, I'll pick you out this morning, and I'm going to draw Patrick's portrait this morning. And so I'll usually get them up to the front, but I think I can see you pretty well from here. See if I can do this right. Yeah, okay. I think I've outdone myself this morning. And it usually is a masterpiece, but I'm pretty sure this is probably my best portrait yet. I'm sure you'll agree. Thank you. They always laugh too, and I think it's because they're so impressed by my brilliance. They're so astounded at how good that is. They laugh. Yes, I think you'll agree that is my masterpiece. And you can see Patrick right there, Patrick Edwards. What an incredible masterpiece. And yes, that's my drawing. And the Bible tells us that you and I, we can be creative. I'm sure you'll agree, adore my creative abilities. We can be creative because our God is the creator. He is the one who made every single one of us. God is, if you like, the original artist. He started with literally a blank canvas, or not literally a blank canvas, but nothing. And he created, and he made this amazing world. And he made trees, he made beaches, he made sunsets, he made everything that there is in the universe. And he's given us the gift of, clearly given me a gift of creativity. He's given Kieran a gift of creativity with words. He is the original artist. And the Bible says that you and I, as human beings, are God's, if you like, the pinnacle of his work. We are his masterpiece. Because when God made human beings, he made them unique in that we are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. So just as that is, as you all agree, Patrick's image, when you see that, everybody sees that, they'll think Patrick. You can see Patrick very clearly there. We are made in the image of God. We are unique in that we know the difference between right and wrong. We have the ability to love, to be sacrificial. And we have souls. We are eternal. We are made uniquely in the image of God. But, as we'll agree, something has gone wrong. Something has gone wrong in this world. And I can't believe I'm about to do this. But it's as if somebody came along with to a masterpiece. And did that. Don't be shocked. I know. I could have sold for millions on eBay. But it's as if God's masterpiece has been ruined. And that's what's happened in this world. God's masterpiece has been ruined. This world is not the way it's supposed to be. And Ephesians chapter 2 gives us a clue as to why and how God's masterpiece has been ruined. What is wrong with the world? We probably all, if we asked in a survey, would all give different answers. And some of us might say it's those people out there. It's the politicians we were praying for earlier. Or it's that group of people. It's the people on the left, the people on the right. You pick your group and say, it's them. Or maybe for you more personally, it's my family who have let me down. Or my friends. Or the people in this group or society that I belong to. It's them who have let me down. They are what's wrong with this world. Well, Paul, when he answers, what is wrong with this world? Ephesians chapter 2. What's his answer? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. If we're going to look for what's wrong with the world, the Bible tells us don't look out there first and foremost. You know the old saying, when you're pointing a finger at someone, you have one finger or three fingers pointing back at you. Paul's saying, if we want to see what's wrong with the world, first of all, we have to take a look at ourselves. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Why is God's masterpiece ruined? It's not because of those people out there. It's because of what's gone wrong in here. The problem with the world is me. It's my heart. that I am selfish, that I have rejected God. And so this world becomes broken because of us, because of our rejection of God. God made us as his masterpiece, and humanity has rejected God. I want you to imagine you are, so say there's an electricity outage, and everything's down, internet, everything's down. I know some young people are breaking out in sweat even thinking about that, but internet's down, no social media, no nothing. And so the only thing you've got you can think of, you can do, you have a big box of Lego in the corner. So you get out the Lego. We have a 5-year-old in our house who loves Lego, and it's great because I get to play with Lego again. But you get the Lego out, you have nothing else to do, so you start building. And say you build a little house. I think that's quite a nice wee house. You put a little Lego man in it. And then you think, you know what, electricity still's down, let's build another one. And you keep building, keep building, keep building. Before you know it, you've got a whole Lego town. And you've got little people inside the Lego town, and you're so proud of it. It's the best thing you've ever made. And you go to bed at night, and you wake up in the morning, you go down to your Lego set, and the Lego set have come to life. It's not a true story, by the way. But the Lego set have come to life. And they're living as a little Lego village, and they're all working together and doing lots of things. Be amazed. And you go over the Lego set, and you can't wait, because you can get to know them, and you can help them, and you can build stuff with them, and this is going to be brilliant. This is the best thing ever. Can you imagine you walk over to your little Lego set and you say, hey guys, let's what do you want to do? Can you imagine the little Lego man, all little Lego men and women turn and look up at you, and they take their little yellow hands, whatever they have, and they shake their little yellow fists up at you and say, clear off. We don't want you. Get out of here. We know you made us, yeah, but we're on our own now. We're the bosses. We are in charge. How do you think you would feel if that happened? We were at a youth club here, Wildlife, on Tuesday night, and I told that story. And I asked the boys, how would you feel? What would you do if that happened to you? And they said, I would wreck them. I would destroy them. If I made them, and they turned around and said, clear off. Wipe them off the table. And yet, when we think about it, God has made his world, made us in it. And he comes to us. He wants a relationship with us, wants to know us, wants to love us, wants us to trust him. And yet we as humanity, we turn and shake our fists at the sky and say, God, shove off. I'm in control, not you. We don't want God's rule. We don't want his reign in our lives. We don't want to worship him the way he has made us to. So Ephesians says, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. We followed the ways of this world. We followed our own way, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that is the devil. And we reject God, and instead of living for him, we choose to live our own way. And the Bible says that if that's how we live, spiritually we have no life. We are spiritually dead. We're not spiritually alive to God. So, back to my masterpiece. Masterpiece ruined. But we're going to see. If I did this. Prepare to be amazed. Are you ready? If I did that. The masterpiece has been restored, doesn't it? The masterpiece that was ruined. I can just see the amazement on all your faces. If you want me to come and teach art classes in schools or in parties or anything like that, I'm available. But it's been restored. The masterpiece has been restored. And I feel like it's better. It's better. It's a more interesting picture. But it's now Jesus with the cross. And this passage then, it says that we were dead in our sins. We have rejected God. Verse 4, how does God respond? And remember how would you have felt if you were that person with the Lego set? How would you have responded? How did God respond? When he looked down at his world, it's rejected him. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. That God, when he looked down on his world, even though they've rejected him, God looks down in mercy. God looks down in love and says, yes, I know you rejected me, but I love you. And God enters into our world. He comes into the world in human flesh. In a few months or a few weeks, we'll be thinking about Christmas. That the creator of the universe comes into humanity as a human being, Jesus Christ, walks amongst us, enters his creation and rebelled against him. And it's through Jesus, through the cross of Christ, that we're made alive together with God. God, rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. And so how do we restore this, our relationship with God? How do we fix this problem deep within us? We can try and work hard and make things better ourselves, like the picture at the start. Only make things worse. The Bible says that it is God. This restoration project is God's. And all we can do is come to him and accept and say, yes, God, I need you to fix the problem deep inside me. I need you to give me new spiritual life. God's masterpiece, ruined by our sin, but is restored in Jesus. The only true place to find that wholeness, that spiritual life, is in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. I remember my own baptism. So after those years in high school of trying different things and trying to fix this thing inside me, this longing that I had just to make things right. And in my baptism, we did the same thing and sang a song as we came up out of the water. And the song that we sang was The Potter's Hand. I don't think it's really about it anymore. But the chorus says, take me, mould me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hands. That God is the great potter, and we are the clay. And the clay can try and fix itself, but it's not going to do a very good job. All we can do is surrender to the great potter, and in his hands he makes us and makes us new. Doesn't mean that all our problems go away. Doesn't mean that if we follow Jesus, you'll never have a bad day in your life with lots of them. But what it means is we have a Lord, we have a Saviour. We have one who is ultimately in control. We know forgiveness of sins. We know assurance of a Father who loves us, of a Saviour who holds us in his hands. So give up trying to fix these problems ourselves. Trust in his work of restoration. I wonder that this morning, would you say you have that new life in Christ? Have you ever said, God, I'm going to stop trying to satisfy my own longings. I'm going to stop trying to fix what's deep inside of me myself. And I'm going to accept him. Accept what Christ did on that cross. The only place for forgiveness, peace, restoration with God, assurance of peace with God for eternity. Have you done that? And if you haven't, you can do that this morning. If you'd like to talk with myself or Alistair, Alistair's the pastor, he's the one who got wet in the tank earlier. Talk to myself or Alistair, or somebody who you knew was a Christian. And I wonder, for those of us who are Christians, God has done this amazing thing in giving this new life. I wonder, are we walking in newness of life? Do we walk in thanks to God? Or do at times we go back to our old ways of trying to just please ourselves, trying to live the old way of life, and going back to those, as Jeremiah talks about, the broken cisterns that don't satisfy? Are we coming back to him who gives us that new life? Keep walking in newness of life. And baptism is, if you like, as I said earlier, is a picture of God's restoration work in humanity, where we were spiritually dead, but we were raised. We were raised up out of that water. It's a picture of that new life which we find in Christ. And so we'll pray for Kieran, Siobhan, and Ben and Patrick, for them in the coming day as they experience the blessing of walking in that new life. And I wonder, what about you? Are you walking in that new life yourself? Let's pray before we sing again. Father, we thank you so much for life. We thank you that you give us life in our bodies. And Father, we thank you for the spiritual life which we experience and enjoy in Jesus. We thank you that he came into this world and lived a life as a human being. He knew what it was to suffer, knew what it was to be tempted, knew what it was to suffer and die, but to die in our place and to take on the punishment for all of our sins upon himself. And Lord, that we can know forgiveness and know real life in you through him. And I pray again for Kieran, Siobhan, Patrick and Ben, Lord, that they would experience that and know that day by day as they walk with you. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here this morning that we would experience that too. In Jesus' name, amen.